A new podcast. Cool. Who's the first guest? What are you going to call it? No guests? What does akimbo mean? That's never going to work. Hey, it's Seth, and this is Akimbo. And now a word from ZipRecruiter, our presenting sponsor.
What do eyebrows have to do with making the right decision? A whole lot, actually. Hey there, I'm Ian Siegel, and I'm the CEO and co-founder of ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Being an entrepreneur and owning a business has been a dream of mine since I was a kid, and I've learned a lot of interesting things while turning that dream into a reality. Like how to tell if your big idea is really a big idea. Hint, it involves eyebrows. More on that later in the show. I founded ZipRecruiter because I knew there was a smarter way for businesses to find talent. Today, companies of all sizes and industries use ZipRecruiter to fill their hiring needs. And if you're hiring now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Seth. 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. So try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Seth. See you later in the show.
The Italians have a wonderful phrase, salto mortale, the dangerous leap, the leap into the void. That fear we get in the pit of our stomach just before we commit. That fear that it's not going to work out. It's too soon. I'm not ready. And so we wait. But some people don't wait. Carl Benz, when he launched the car, did it in Germany, where it was against the law to drive a car. And there were no passable roads. And there were no gas stations. He should have waited. Gutenberg, pioneer of movable type, launched the book when there were no bookstores, and when no one knew how to read, and when reading glasses were required but hadn't been invented yet. He should have waited. Internally, there's constant pressure to hesitate, to hold back, not to launch, to find flaws, to give ourselves one more chance. But recently, we made it worse. We made it worse because in all capital letters, we added, launch big. That you need a grand opening. That if you can't have a home run, you shouldn't even try. I blame it on Gilligan, on the Brady Bunch, and on the Beverly Hillbillies. It goes all the way from there to The Odd Couple, all the sitcoms we grew up with. The Flintstones, which are sort of like the Honeymooners, but in prehistoric times. The Brady Bunch, here's the story of a lovely lady. All these shows had a lot in common. One of them was this. The first 45 to 60 seconds was a theme song that explained in detail the entire storyline of the show. Even though the show, after commercials, was only 24 minutes long, the network insisted that they spend a minute to catch everybody up. That makes no sense. Why would you do that? So it's a mystery then. Why invest so much of this precious time in repeating a long theme song to make sure that no one was confused? Well, it's not that much of a mystery if you understand that before the internet and cable, there were only three TV channels. Half the country was watching three channels. And if people switched from one to the other, you'd lose them. Maybe forever. The show was live. That was it. Once and done. And so you got conservative because you needed the grand opening, the big win, every time. Where did this idea come from? Because it doesn't line up with the way that civilization evolved. For a really long time, if you bought something, you were buying it from someone that you already knew. The people in the village were the people in the village. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. They didn't need a hype man, an advance man. They didn't need somebody pushing for the big grand opening. They were there yesterday, and they were going to be there tomorrow. I think it's worth understanding. It came from the carnival, from the traveling salesman, from the medicine man, from the people going village to village. They'd send their hype man up front, their advance man. They knew they only had one day, 2 days, 4 days to make the sale. And then they were leaving town again. If you blew it, It was live. You weren't going to get another chance. And so the grand opening. And so the need to pigeonhole yourself, the need to get it right the first time, to go big or to stay home. The carnies, the guys in the carnival, called it a bally. The bally was the shtick, the theme song, the thing you'd say over and over again to make sure that every single time you interacted with somebody, you could make the sale. Here's one from a bunch of years ago, trying to get people to go in and see the piranhas.
Get your tickets and come in. Killers of the Amazon can devour a cow in a matter of seconds, can leave nothing but the bare bones. First time shown in your city, and you may never have the chance to see it again. Alive, alive, alive.
As you can see, the goal isn't to edify, to educate, to create an environment that you're going to come back again and again. The goal is to take your money and then leave town. And this idea that we've got to be in a hurry spread from that to the mass marketing of TV to the movies. It used to be that a movie could run for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months in the theaters before it went away, usually forever. But then TV came along and TV advertising. And what the movie studios figured out was that they had a chance using TV to have really big opening weekends. And so they spent a fortune on Thursday nights advertising movies so that people would see them on the weekend. What they discovered was that giving away all the attractions in the TV ad, and more important, making a movie that lent itself to TV advertising, didn't lead to movies that were going to play in the theaters for months. 3 days, 10 days, 20 days, gone. And so the same thing happened that happened to TV. We need to hype it. We need to promo it. We don't have very much time. We want to reach the largest number of people. Let's fast forward just a little bit more to Kickstarter, which I think should be called Kick Finisher. The reason it ought to be called Kick Finisher is that in order to make a Kickstarter succeed, except for the obvious edge cases, the random 1 in 10,000 that get lucky, someone had to get lucky. In order to have a Kickstarter succeed, you need to begin with a following. You need to begin with people who trust you. A Kickstarter is the end of a multi-month or multi-year effort to earn trust and attention. It's not a grand opening, it's a grand ending. That what you get to do when you make a successful Kickstarter is go to people, the edge cases, the loyal ones, the true fans, go to those people and say, I'm ready for you now. We're doing a Kickstarter. Those Kickstarters always work. If you have a sufficient following before you begin, they always work. So it's not a lottery. It's not a chance to grab a brass ring. That, as Kevin Kelly has pointed out, 1,000 true fans is sufficient to make it as a creative person. 1,000 people who will listen to you, who will pay you, who will show up, who care about you, who would miss you if you are gone. Only 1,000. So let's compare that to the grand opening thinking of, I need 10 million people to watch this TV show or it doesn't work. That's a 10,000x difference. You don't need to play that game. You can play your game. And your game is slow and steady, daring, risky, thrilling, but slow and steady. Because the goal isn't to hype your way with an advance man using a bally day after day to get one more rube to give you a dollar to see your piranha. No, you're playing a different game. The game we're playing doesn't need a grand opening. It needs a grand finishing. There must be an alternative. How did Wikipedia grow without a grand opening? What about Harry Potter or The Martian? What about 50 Shades of Grey or Microsoft or Kiva or the Union Square Cafe? The list goes on and on. Most of the brands, most of the organizations that we care about, they didn't have a grand opening. They didn't have a hype man. They didn't launch with a bang. There must be another way. The alternative is called First 10. Everyone knows 10 people. Everyone has 10 people who will listen to them. Tell 10 people. See what happens. If those people tell others, the word will spread. If they don't, make better work. Take your novel. Send it to 40 people. 40 people who trust you and like you. See what happens. Maybe they'll share it. If they share it, it'll spread. If it spreads, it'll reach more people. Sooner or later, someone will reach out to you and ask you to write something else. First 10. 10 by 10 by 10. You put an idea in the world, not to everyone in the world, just to people who want to hear it. And then maybe it spreads. And if it spreads, it grows. And if it grows, you get to do it again. Almost 20 years ago, I was at a conference. There were some cool people there. And we were going around the circle introducing each other. And a guy says, yeah, my name is Sergey, and I have this little search engine called Google. And at the time, a lot of people knew about Google, but it wasn't the worldwide phenomenon we know today. And then he said something profound. He said, we don't do any outbound marketing, promotion, or hype. And let me tell you why. We figure that one day everyone will use Google. And we also know that every day Google gets better. And since we're getting better every day, we're in no hurry to have people use it for the first time, because tomorrow or the day after that is soon enough, because it'll be better. They'll have a better first impression. We're in no hurry. Instead, we're going to make the best thing that we know how to make and wait for people to tell others. But it's not just digital stuff. There was a little tiny restaurant in the East Village of Manhattan years ago called Momofuku. No one had ever heard of it. You could walk in anytime. This guy named David Chang, sort of crazy, had a little counter and a bunch of tables. And my family and I used to go there, sometimes for lunch on a weekend. And there were all these rules. You couldn't leave this out, no subtractions, no additions, and eat what you eat. That's all you get. But what happened, day by day, is the word spread. It got to the point, as Yogi Berra said, where no one goes there because it's so crowded. And it turned into an entire empire. Or consider the amazing podcast 99% Invisible from Roman Mars. How'd you hear about it? Did you hear about it from those Super Bowl ads they ran? Of course not. There were dozens and dozens of episodes of 99% Invisible before you heard about it. Because Roman took the same approach. How do I make something for a few? Something special. Something that's really hard to pigeonhole. Something new. Or consider a piece of software like Dropbox. I don't recall ever seeing an ad for Dropbox until just recently. Instead, what Dropbox did was build a service that was important to share, not just to talk about it, but to use it with other people. Or my friend Jill Greenberg, one of the most talented and well-known photographers in the world. How did Jill get there? She didn't get there by being picked by somebody to push her to the masses. She got there by making quirky art, by saying, I don't shoot pictures like everybody else. I shoot pictures like me. And so her photographs are distinctive. They don't fit in. Early on, lots and lots of people didn't buy the photographs she wanted to sell to them, the magazines, the commercial shoots that she needed. No, she was too far out there for the masses to adopt. So she did the smart thing. She didn't complain or conform. Instead, she made something the masses didn't want. She made something for the early adopters. She refused to pigeonhole it. She didn't have to hype it. Because the early adopters, they're looking for something on the edge. And she had something on the edge. And then, of course, it spreads, right? The first thing that happens is the art director says, get me Jill Greenberg. And then, of course, the art director says, get me someone who looks like Jill Greenberg. And then you know you've made it. So the goal here, when we are making our best work, the work we seek to make, is not to listen to the people in the middle of the curve. Because the people in the middle of the curve aren't listening to us. The goal is not the Flintstones or the Brady Bunch or the Beverly Hillbillies. The goal is to go to the fringe, to the edge, to the people who are listening, to the people who care. Not with a bally, but with something real. To invite them in and to tell them something that they didn't know before. To bring them something that's a little more complicated than an NBC executive would have gone for. To take them on a journey from here to there. Not with a grand opening, but with a small opening, with a whisper. Here, I made this. Here, I made this. That's our work. After the break, some questions. Questions for me, how we're going to do that, and then a question for you.
Hi again. This is Ian Siegel, CEO and co-founder of ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. So you have a big idea. How do you know if it's ready for the big time? It's difficult to get honest feedback about a new business idea. A lot of people will tell you what you want to hear. That's why I encourage what I call the eyebrow test. Here's how you do it. Describe your business to someone in one paragraph or less, but the whole time I want you to stare at their eyebrows while you're talking and pretty much ignore the words that are coming out of their mouths. We all have an almost uncontrollable reaction when we like something. Our eyebrows go up. When we don't like what we're hearing, eyebrows scrunch. Eyebrows never lie. If you aren't regularly seeing raised eyebrows, your idea isn't ready. That's the importance of eyebrows. I hope you found it helpful. Here's something else that may be helpful. If you're hiring, you can try ZipRecruiter for free today. ZipRecruiter's helped businesses of all sizes and across all industries hire great people. In fact, 80% of employers who use ZipRecruiter find a quality candidate through the site in just one day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Seth. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Seth. Thanks for listening and see you on the next episode.
All right, questions. This is the first episode, so I don't have your questions yet about episode zero because there wasn't an episode zero. Instead, we're teeing you guys up to give me feedback and questions about this episode, which I'll answer next time. If you want to give us a question, just visit thedominoproject.com and click the appropriate button. And while we're waiting to hear from you, here's a question for you and your team. How would it be different if you weren't in the hype business? If you weren't focused on Hoopla and the ratings and how many likes you have right this minute? How would you build your product or your service or your cause if your goal was to make it deeper and more elegant? If complexity wasn't a challenge, it was a goal. What would happen if instead of seeking to make noise, you decided to do something that mattered instead? If you want to submit a question, just visit akimbo.link, akimbo.link, and click on the appropriate button. See you next time. What are people saying about the alt MBA?
I needed something more, a way to level myself up and find a connection, really be challenged.
Maybe I operated for 10 years in my life and this is what was my best space. But then in alt MBA, you learned what was your best on Monday. It's going to be better on Tuesday night. And you're going to do it in a space where everyone cares about you so much that they're not going to let you off the hook.
Alt MBA, in fact, is not a course. It's a workshop. It's 1 month in which a professional coming from all over the globe can work with 100 other professionals that will make you a better leader.
Not enough time. We know it's not enough time. Do it anyway.
So many people want to self-edit. They want to say, oh, I have writer's block, all these excuses, basically. And so this is just an exercise in getting out of your own way and also collaboration.
It's more about how you think, what you're willing to offer yourself and the group.
I have a clearer vision with my company and who I'm trying to build it for.
Really having a lot of skills to speak more confidently about who I wanted to be and where I wanted to go.
Find out more at altmba.com.